What a great day to be here. I just feel like this should be a day of celebration. Amen? Is this supposed to be a mirror image of the thousand-year celebration that we're going to have in heaven? So we need to be celebrating. I've got a lot of reason to celebrate. One, because it's the Sabbath. Another one, because I'm back in Florida. This is my third time back in Florida. And I got to thank Scott and Arliss. Megan, Abby is here. Hi. You're getting so big. I don't know how you just, you know, stretching out like that. But just to give you a little story, too, about this was, what, maybe 5 years ago. And Scott had called me up on the phone and said, hey, can you come out to Florida and do a cooking show? And I'm in Las Vegas. I've never been anywhere in the country, really. I've never been on a tour. You know, I've done a couple things at 3ABN. And I guess I prayed about it or thought about it for a minute. And I was like, okay, I can come over. So that's what I ended up doing. And so he was the one that kind of started me doing these tours. And here we are 5 years later, and God has sent me. I'm like Isaiah 6:8. I'm like, you know, send me, I'll go. And it's been over 1,000 speakings, and I think I just did my 600th cooking show. So I thank you for putting me on that path. You know, sometimes I'm thinking, what did he get me into? But I know God's always got a purpose beyond any of our knowledge. So it just goes to show you, you never know how you're going to reach somebody or what that person's going to do when you ask them to do something. You know what I mean? So, you know, we need to really be out there doing things. And great Sabbath school, by the way. If you missed the Sabbath school, that was a really good Sabbath school today. And I really encourage people to go to Sabbath schools. Iron sharpens iron, amen? And in fact, what were we talking about today? There was a couple things. I'm going to try to bring them into perspective here. One, you were talking, there was, I guess, quite a few people that are sick right now. We got to watch out for these sicknesses that we're getting attacked by Satan. And one of the things about the sicknesses that are going on is there's a lot of people that they'll get an infection, and they won't take all their meds, or they'll feel healthy enough to go back to work, you know, this type of thing. But they hadn't got rid of that entire infection. And then all of a sudden, that infection comes back with a real vengeance. It's called a super infection. And I guess last year it took 25,000 lives from this super infection. And when it comes back, I mean, that's where your serious pneumonias come from, it actually... There's no medicines that can really even help these super infections. You just got to, you know, pray that you can get through them. But I was kind of thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? Isn't that the same thing we're doing with our lives as far as holding on to a little percentage of that sin? You know, there's so many people there that are being godly, but they're still holding on to 10% of that sin. So they're only hitting the casino once a month. Or they're only going to the bars not as often as they used to. Or they're only cheating on their spouse not as often as I used to. They're still holding on to part of that sin. And what we need to do is we need to get rid of that 10 or 20% of that sin that's left over and give Christ 100% of everything we got. Amen? And I kind of like to call it, instead of infection, it's sinfection. Amen? And we need to get rid of that little sinfection and really become dedicated to Christ. So make sure you go to those Sabbath schools. They're just great Sabbath schools that we need to be going to. And amen. What else was happening lately? Oh, the week of prayer? Are we becoming that pathetic in our prayer practices that we need a week of prayer? A day of prayer? Shouldn't we be like that all the time? I mean, why do we need a week to do this? And I really encourage people to take that week of prayer and turn it into a lifelong practice. Let's take that week of prayer and get in a habit of taking your prayer every single day. Amen? So that's an opportunity to get back to where we should be with the Lord. And let me start with prayer. I'm going to start with prayer. Lord, we thank you. Father, we just thank you so much for being in our presence today, and I thank you so much that in our prayer before that we asked for forgiveness, and we do need your forgiveness, Lord. We need forgiveness from our sins, and because we want to be in a position and condition to be in your holy presence in this home that you have established for us here. And we know that you're a righteous and just God that forgives us of our sins. Enter our hearts and our minds and be with us today. Be the words that you need spoken today as I surrender my life to you today and every day. And we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, we need to be in forgiveness. Amen. By the way, this is one of the few churches that I've actually seen that you went right to forgiveness in your prayer. A lot of people just put that part aside, and it's really important. Even David wasn't, that's why I was thinking of it. David, 1 Kings, I know where it is. 1 Kings 14:8. I know this one. Where is it at? 1 Kings 14:8. Here we go. 1 Kings 14:8. And yeah, this is God talking about David. And God sits here and says, "And tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept all my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, only to do what was right in my eyes." So here's God saying that David kept all his commandments. I mean, wasn't David like an adulterer and a murderer? And yeah. And here's God saying that David kept all his commandments. And I think it's three times in the Bible that God says this. And we know that David was always running to the Lord, wasn't he? And it just goes to show you that God not only forgives us of all of our sins, he literally forgets every one of our sins. Amen? I mean, that's one of the mysteries of God, but we have got such an awesome God that he has forgiven and forgotten every one of our sins. So we can move forward in a mighty way. And the only person that's going to bring up those sins of the past, that's Satan coming back saying, "You're not good enough. Remember this, remember that." Yep. So we need to make sure we stay in forgiveness. Amen. Now tomorrow, we got a cooking show tomorrow. 3 o'clock, is that right? Did I get it right? 3 o'clock tomorrow, cooking show right over here. I cook a full meal for everybody. It's a free event, so you can, you know, call your friends and neighbors, have them come over. If we start at 3 o'clock, I got the meal ready about 4:30, but we'll start at 3, and I've got a real good presentation for you. Done them in every single state in the country now, and I've never charged anybody anything. I never charged the churches. 600 stops, and I've never charged a single church for plateware or anything. And I never charge the people attending. We just pass the hat around, and God has provided every step of the way. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I don't know how he does it. He just, it's just beyond me. It's what a blessing that he does that. And schools and universities now, hospitals, senior centers. I do them in a lot of different locations, too, to be that light in the darkness out there. So, but that's it tomorrow, so I'll leave my culinary stuff for tomorrow, talking about my cooking career in Las Vegas. But actually, in Las Vegas, I was catering for a lot of the big celebrities, like Jack Nicklaus and Montel Williams and Joan Jett and Styx and Journey and a lot of these big rock bands like REO Speedwagon, doing major, major catering jobs for them. And my business was really booming. I mean, I had, you know, a good team that we put together, and it was just one of those amazing things that, you know, God had put me in those positions. Not that he really wanted me there, because my next step was to open up a casino. And yeah, I went down and applied for my liquor and gaming license, and I ended up opening up a casino. Now, I didn't have any partners. You know, I just went and applied and got my... And it's a lot of work to get a gaming license in Las Vegas, okay? You got to go through FBI background checks, and the application, I think, was $1,000. You got to go through all these application fees. I ended up having to, you go in front of the review board. And the review board, they act like God. They do. You actually have to go in front of the review board and confess your sins. And you do it. Some of these people, I couldn't believe they were giving them gaming licenses with the, you know, crimes that they had committed. And you go up there and, "Yes, I did this and I did this and... Oh, yes, I did this." And then they look at you and say, "I have abolished you of all your sins. You're granted your gaming license." That's what they do. And if you lie about something, even if it's as little as a traffic ticket, you forgot about it and they find out about it, they won't grant you your license. And you got to go through the whole process all over again. Yeah, it's just the way it is because they want that authority and supremacy over the industry. And anyway, I got my liquor and gaming licensed, opened up a casino. Wasn't one of the big casinos like you see on television. My dance floor was about the size of this room here. My stage, a little bigger than this stage. And you could go in my place at midnight, and I'd have more people in my casino than you have in here right now. So, you know, did good volume. Mostly the city workers, FBI agents, that was their hangout. All the police officers, that's where they went. So I kind of had built-in security. And if you have built-in security, you get all the girls from the nightclubs. And if you got the girls, you got the guys. That's just the way it works. So I had that perfect blend of sin, you know, for the casino. And I'll tell you what, those slot machines make a lot of money. And they'll take your money really quick. I know sometimes pulling $20,000 a week out of a slot machine, I mean, they make a lot of money. And I could basically buy anything I wanted, go anywhere I wanted to go. Ended up where my job was to go out to other casinos and entice other people to come to my place. And I'd sit down next to those dollar players and play the slot machines and give them free meals to come to my place and, you know, entice them. And more often than not, they'd be in my property spending their money. And, you know, it's just a business. You know, and I was raised Catholic, okay? I grew up Catholic. I was the altar boy at church until I got taller than the priest. And then they said, you know what, we think we need to get somebody else. But and I left church the day I left home. Like, I think 92% of the kids leave the church within 2 years, according to the Barna Group studies. 92% leave the church. So we got to pay attention to the kids. We've got to find ways to keep them instead of putting them out to the wolves and praying that they come back. I mean, that's just, we need to keep them in the church the whole time. You know, give them the projects that they need. Put them on those mission trips. You know, change our philosophy about throwing them out to the wolves. You know, but anyway, yeah, so, you know, here's this casino business, and it's a booming business. But I knew God didn't want me there. And he kept impressing on me. He's like, Mark, I don't want you in this business. You know, and I had a basic understanding of faith and who God was and everything. And I started kind of talking to God here and there. And he kept impressing on me, Mark, I don't want you in this business. And I'll tell you what, this gaming business is so horrible. I mean, it's just horrible. I had moms coming in with half-naked kids looking for their boyfriends or husbands who are blowing the paychecks in the slot machines. They're blowing the paychecks before they even go home and feed the family. You know, that's what goes. And women, too. Women blowing their checks, too. And they'd walk in, and you'd see it. I'd be like, oh, we're going to have another blowout here. I'd grab the kids and put them in the kitchen. I had a little table in there for them. And get one of my employees to defuse the situation, but happened all the time that way. And God just kept tugging on me, saying, Mark, I got something better for you to do. You know, and he wasn't hammering me and rejecting me and hitting me over the head. He was just pleasantly saying, come on, Mark, I got something for you to do. And one kid did an armed robbery the day after he blew his paycheck in my slot machines. And my bartender showed me the article in the paper. You know, this is the kind of thing that happens. You know, I had this couple of seniors. They actually would sign markers. And they'd sign a marker for 200 here, 300 there. By the end of the day, they may have spent a couple $1,000s on those slot machines. And the next morning, the banks are open. They'd get the money. They'd pay me. And they'd start gambling again. They did this for quite a few seasons. And by the time they were done, they lost everything they had. This is a retired couple, lost their entire life savings, their home, their vehicles, everything. And I had other places calling me up saying, hey, have you seen these people? I said, yeah, they skipped town, you know, in a beat-up pickup truck with a camper topper on the back. And they owed me money too, but I didn't care about that because, you see, with the slot machines. I could give every one of you $100 on a marker to play a slot machine. It goes right in the slot machine. It never left the building. I can pull it out and give it to you again. Now you owe me $200. We could do this all day long. And the nice part, even if you win, you got to pay me first. So now the winnings off those slot machines never leave the building. That's why we want a high percentage of people playing on markers, because the winnings stay in the house. So it's all strategy. It's all business. That's just the way it is. And God kept talking to me. He's like, Mark, I want you out of this business. But see, I wasn't listening to God. That's the problem. And that's the problem a lot of us have, okay? We're listening to God with our ears. In fact, if you look up the word listen in the dictionary, look up the word listen in the dictionary. One of the definitions of the word listen is actually obedience. Yeah. There are so many people listening to God with their ears, but they're not listening to God with their actions. We need to be a people of action, doing what God wants us to do, not just listening to what God wants us to do. Amen? What is it? James 1:22, be ye not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And here I am in this business. I had one lady. They started the credit card machines when I was there, and people could swipe credit cards for money. And everybody swiping $100 here, $100 there on credit cards to get money to play slot machines. And I'm back behind the bar doing a liquor count. And she was with my bartender saying, hey, can you get $10 off this credit card? No? How about five? She'd pull another credit card out of her purse. Here, see if you can get $5 off this credit card. I mean, she was trying every credit card in her purse, trying to get $5 to play a slot machine. I mean, isn't that horrible? Well, you know, that's nothing compared to finding her with a bullet in her head, committing suicide, and orphaning three kids. You know, that's what that business does. That's Satan's job. Destroy, steal, kill. I mean, how do you think it felt to be at that funeral? You know, people saying, hey, I know where the money went. You know, well, I never went to the funeral, okay? People in the casino business don't go to funerals. We're not supposed to care where the money's going, what's happening to the people when they leave. You know, but I felt like, am I getting that desensitized by this industry that I never went to a funeral? You know, and I prayed and prayed. I said, Lord, whatever it takes, just, I don't want to be in this business anymore. I said, I'm done. I know you got better things for me. And I really started listening to God. And when my lease was up, I actually got out of that business. I said, you know what? This is an opportunity. God opened up a door for me. And I got out of that business, and I've never been back since. Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I started really focusing on the Bible. I started praying more. Really started talking to God step by step. And I ended up getting married. And I thought I married Miss Wright. But I did not know her first name was Always. Yeah. Yeah, I married Miss Always Wright. And long story short, when the money was gone, so was she. And and she knew how to save money. I mean, you know, she'd save $100 on that new pair of shoes. And she'd save a couple $1,000s on a new car. And saved $10,000 on a house for her parents. You know, she almost saved me right into bankruptcy. But yeah, long story short, you need to find the woman that is always right with God. Okay, amen? And then I ended up, losing everything I had. I lived in my car for a couple months. I mean, I was that far in debt. But you see, a lot of people, when they hit rock bottom like that, they give up on God. Now, God tests a lot of people. He tries a lot of people. He tests them through their prosperity, and he tests them through their poverty. If you look in the richest neighborhoods of the country, they actually do the least amount of tithing. They have the least amount of churches per capita. of anywhere in the country, the richest neighborhoods. And the interesting part, too, because they're like, what do I need God for? I've got everything I need. You know, and but then when people hit rock bottom, a lot of people give up on God, too. They're like, okay, we tried it your way, God. You know, they were testing God in a way they shouldn't be testing God. And but I kind of said to myself, I said, you know what? I'm going to get even closer to God. I'm going to start studying even more, praying even more. And I started spending time on my knees. And I'll tell you what, 15 minutes a day on your knees, that's only 1% of your day. And if you will just start spending 15% of your day with Christ, He'll change your life. Just 1%. And I'll tell you what, I started reading more, studying more. I started going to church in Las Vegas. And let me tell you, Las Vegas has a church for whatever sins you want. They do. Whatever sins you want. They have more churches than any other city in the country per capita. Whatever sins you want, they got churches for it. I know, well, there's churches in the casinos. You probably know about those. And not just the chapels. I'm talking actual churches where they have services. They rent out part of the casinos, and that's their church. I know pastors that actually meet with the congregation before service and have cocktails at the bar. Some pastors actually have cocktails up on the pulpit when they're speaking. Yeah. I know one pastor, I have an article in the paper, where he actually gives classes on how to play slot machines after service. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And he justifies it with the Bible. That's the amazing part. He's like, oh, well, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And if you're not winning on these slot machines, you're not right with God. I'm like, and after going to over 200 churches in Las Vegas, a lot of them, time and time again, I finally said, I can't go to these churches anymore. We call them two-verse Charlies because they take two verses of the Bible and that's what they live by. And, you know, and I was in the catering business and really started doing some magnificent catering things for big celebrities. Never did get back in that liquor and gaming business. And a lot of people used to come up to me and they're like, Mark, you can make this kind of money in this business? Oh, you need to get back in that business again. And I just looked at them and I'm like, why would I ever go back to Egypt when I see the promised land right in front of me? Amen? I mean, we are this close to the promised land. This is not the time to be looking back. We need to look forward. And and I'll tell you, business started being better and better. You know, God was blessing me, but I could not go to those churches. I said, that's it. And I quit going to church altogether. Probably for 2 or 3 years, I never went to church. But I stayed in study. I stayed in prayer. I stayed reading the Bible every day, you know, watching television, watching the Christian stations on television, and which a lot of them, I was like, oh, come on. That's not even in the Bible. Why are you saying that? You know? And then I ran across 3ABN. And I was like, wow, they're teaching the whole message that God had just taught me over the last, you know, 8 or 9 years. And I'm watching them, and I've been watching them for years. And I knew about the Sabbath from my brother, who's married to a Jewish girl. He was married to a Jewish lady. And I always wondered why people didn't honor the Saturday on the Sabbath like they should. And the more I watched, the more I was like, wow, there is a church out there that's teaching the whole message. You know, and I'm getting all excited about it, you know. And I'm sending 3ABN donations and saying, you guys are doing such a good job. I started going to church again over at Paradise Church in Las Vegas. And then 3ABN calls me up and says, hey, why don't you come out and do a cooking show? I was like, yeah, I can cook. So I went out there a couple times and did some cooking shows. And I just got baptized 6 years ago by Jim Gilley over at 3ABN. So, amen, yeah. And I'll tell you what. And ever since then, I've just been going for the Lord. I mean, where do you want me to go, Lord? I don't care if it's a bad neighborhood. I don't care if it's a church with 10 people in their congregation. I'm still going. You know, I mean, we need to go everywhere, don't we? Not just be selective of who we're going to reach. And, and I'll tell you what. It's been such a blessing. And God has just used me. And that's what it takes. It takes people taking steps one step at a time. You can't be sitting in the pews your entire life. You know, I kind of think of it as in a restaurant. You know how there's a lot of people that say, what's the phrase here? I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. He's got something in store for me. Waiting on the Lord does not mean to sit there and do nothing. Waiting on the Lord means we're going to serve the Lord in action, doing things for the Lord, like a waiter or waitress waits on you in a restaurant. That's what waiting on the Lord means. I'm there to serve the Lord, not wait for Him to show up. You know, we need to be waiting on the Lord the way we're supposed to be waiting on the Lord. And I'll tell you what, speaking of food and restaurants and stuff, when you go to Vegas, you see luck everywhere. It's on every, I can't even show you most of the billboards. They got billboards in Vegas that say, don't believe the truth. That's all it says. It doesn't even have a company name or anything on it. Other ones say, obey the serpent. This is Vegas. I mean, it's just horror. And luck is everywhere. Luck, luck, luck. And I was thinking about that because I saw your luck was derived from Lucifer to take favor away from God. How come every time something good happens in your life, oh, you are lucky? But every time something bad happens in your life, oh, that was from God. That was meant to be. Excuse me? I guarantee you, if something bad happens in your life, Satan had something to do with it. And if something good happens in your life, we need to give God the praise and glory and thanks. Amen? Amen. Not be turning it off as luck. And that's why I was thinking of the potluck here. We might have to change that to a fellowship meal or something. I mean, I'm from Vegas, all right, but I don't want to roll the dice on my meal, okay? So might have to go with fellowship meal on that one. But, you know, this is how upside down the world is. Satan turns the world so slowly, we don't notice these things. He does. And I'll tell you what, if something bad happens in your life, you know, you lose a loved one or you lose a limb or, you know, a child dies or whatever might happen, take it to the cross. I'm telling you, Romans 8:28, all things work to God's greater good. When you take it to the cross, He can take the worst situation and turn it into something better. He will amaze you when you give it to the Lord and follow through with what He's asking you to do. He really will. And but yeah, we are in such an upside down world. In fact, Satan literally puts people in a state of hope. This one you got to get. In fact, they're looking at me funny, Pastor. This one you got to get. Bananas. No, that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. Here we go. You got to get this. You got to get it. These are definitions of hope in the Bible. Actual definitions of hope in the Bible. Safety, assurance, boldly, security, hope, confidence, to trust. You know, there's some good ones. Hope. Now, these are definitions of hope in the Bible, too. Without care. Carelessness is a definition of hope. To attach oneself, to be careless. The folly of relying upon any other type of security, strongly contrasted with depending on God alone. Anything other than God is an ungodly hope. Let's see. One who is overconfident and shows no caution whatsoever. That's a definition of hope. My favorite one, you'll love this. An expressed sense of resignation. There is nothing more one can do. Now that sounds like hopelessness to me, doesn't it? That's an actual definition of hope in the Bible. So we got to understand, there's a big difference between hope being a noun. Our hope is Jesus Christ. And hope being a verb, which is an ungodly earthly hope. But see, society has bundled it all together in one big package so that everybody's out there saying, all you need is hope and everything's going to be fine. What they're doing, what Satan is doing, is actually creating a perpetual insanity in your life. You're hoping that the administrations do something for the economy. You're hoping the economy gets better. You're hoping that you get a job without ever looking for a job. You know what insanity is, right? Doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. That's what people are doing with hope nowadays. They're hoping for the same thing over and over without having that godly action in their hope, and they're expecting a different result. So you got to get this. There's a difference between those two types of hope. I mean, is there going to be hope in heaven? No. Because we're going to have our hope fulfilled in heaven. Amen? We're going to have Jesus Christ in our presence every moment of every day. We're going to have our hope fulfilled. And that's the way we need to be now. We need to have our hope fulfilled knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. When we walk out those doors having that bright, shining light, and people are going to look at you and say, I don't know what it is about that person or that church or that congregation, but they've got their hope fulfilled. We're not sitting here hoping that there is a God. We're having our hope fulfilled right now. That's what we need. And yeah, it's amazing. So what you got to do, focus on the Bible. Read more, study more, pray more. Iron sharpens iron. Go to those Sabbath schools. Go to those prayer meetings. Go to those Bible studies. You know, be involved with the church. You've got to get connected with the Bible in every way, shape, and form. It takes time. It takes time. Now, tonight we're going to talk, I think, money management, time management, organize your life, 5:30, for sure, 5:30. And but it takes time. Just, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they started a new Twitter that has 6-second videos. That's all the time you get to get your message out, 6 seconds. You don't get 7 seconds or 8 seconds. You're limited to 6-second videos. Now, I mean, God could have created this entire universe in 6 seconds. You know, but he took his time. He did it in 6 days. And that's what we got to do with the Bible in order to get closer to him. We need to take time, putting our time, investing our time in the Bible, investing our time, having a better relationship with Christ. And the more time you spend in the Bible, the more time he's going to provide for you to do everything else in life. Let's start tithing 10% of our time and see what happens to this church. Let's start taking the time investing in, you know, outreaches into the community, whatever it might be. If you're even going door to door, passing out material, you know, we can do these things. Invest time. And right now, that is almost more valuable than money, especially with how money's just going right down the tubes, right? So, amen. But yeah, invest that time. And let me see. I've got one scripture. I've got a scripture here, though. I want to read Jeremiah 29. 11 through 13. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know your thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, that you will call upon me and go and pray to the Lord, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. See, the Lord, Father God, has plans for every single one of us. But it doesn't mean they're ever going to happen. How many millions of people never ever accomplish one single plan that God had for them? That's why we need to go to the Lord. Seek me. Find me when you search me with all your heart. Search for the Lord, and he will take you to those hopes and plans. Did you ever think I was going to go out there and do 600 cooking shows? I didn't either. You know, but when you start seeking the Lord, he will create those plans for you that will just blow you away. So, this is The Great Controversy, page 595. The multitudes do not want biblical truth because it interferes with the desires of the sinful, world-loving heart, and Satan supplies the deceptions which they love. But God will have a people upon the earth to maintain the Bible and only the Bible as the standard of all doctrines and the basis of all reforms. Satan is now putting forth his utmost efforts in a final struggle against Christ and his followers. The last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform him marvelous works in our sight, so closely with the counterfeit, so closely will the counterfeit resemble the truth that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by Holy Scriptures. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. And we're there. We're already there. It's hot up here. We're already there. So we need to make sure that we really focus on what God has in store for us. Read more, study more, pray more. Somebody was talking about those prison ministry at the thing about prison work. Somebody just did some amazing, doesn't matter where God puts you. Sometimes he needs you to go someplace for a particular reason and you don't know why. You know, sometimes he puts people there, sometimes Satan puts you there, and you can make the best of it. There's a girl in Las Vegas. Her name's Erin. And Erin reminded me of her. And not, you know, just same name. But she's serving a life sentence in murder, life sentence in prison for murder. She was born and raised Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, we're going to have some music. I hope you can get some music playing up there. We got some piano. You want to play a piano? Can you play Amazing Grace? I'll let you play Amazing Grace while I'm painting. Yeah. But this girl, she's serving a life sentence for murder. Born and raised Seventh-day Adventist. She killed a woman and her unborn baby. And but now, I've wrote her dozens of letters, and there's a pastor. She quit her day job working on the Sabbath because she wanted to honor God. And then she ended up getting a job at the loading docks and asked the boss if she could bring in a baptismal. And they've had baptisms in there. The first one, they had 19 girls baptized. They've had dozens of baptisms in there. The last one, they had 29 girls in prison be baptized. This is a girl in prison who has changed her life and is bringing the truth to all these people in prison now. We got her Seventh-day Adventist hymnals. She plays them in four different events every week. She's just on fire for the Lord in prison. So, amen. All right. Yeah, pray for her discernment. All right. We'll let you crank it up a little bit, and I'm going to just paint a painting up here. Thank you.
Have you been blessed?
Yes.
Isn't that awesome? Look at that. That's beautiful. I want to remind you that Jesus said that he came down from heaven, and that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We have to look to Jesus. And I think that's the uplifting message that we've heard here just now. To lift up Jesus. You know that Mark does not charge our church to come here. The food is free. All this that he has done here is free. He is here because he loves Jesus and wants to serve him. And so we want to help in this work, in his ministry, and to send him on his way. How many of these has he done? How many of these cooking things? How does he do that? How do you do 600 cooking schools, you know? How do you do that? How do you come to churches, you know, what, 2,000 miles from where you live? It's not because money grows on trees, right? But it's because people like us help. And so we would like to give you an opportunity just now to help in this work, to help with Mark's expenses. And so as our deacons wait on us, I want you to be thinking about how it is that we too can lift up Jesus. Mark told us that we can't be sitting still. We can't be doing nothing. Go ahead, gentlemen. We can't be doing nothing as we are here in this place. We cannot simply sit in the pews. But what can we do here? How can we reach out to our city to make a difference here? We talked a little bit about having prayer, week of prayer coming up. I want to give you an opportunity to come to be praying for Lakeland, to be praying for our church, to be praying for Mark and his work.
Looked like fresh carpet. I wanted to make sure there wasn't any paint on it. If you need new carpet, though, just call me back. Make sure you get new carpet.
How many shirts and pants have you ruined doing this, Mark? A lot, I'll bet you. Yeah,
hundreds.
Yeah.
I get a new pair every Sabbath.
There you go.
And I do know where Goodwill is, okay? Yeah, $2.50 a pair, okay? And I get quite a few uses out of them, so amen.
Well, that's good, that's amen. Good. Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for coming. Yeah. I appreciate it, brother. It is awesome, the work that you do. Yeah. And we hope that what we can do will send you to another corner of the earth to make that happen.
3 o'clock tomorrow, I've had places where I've went to Atlanta in gang area. 100 people showed up to the cooking show. Next year I came back, pastor said he had 8 people who had never been in a Seventh-day Adventist church before. They came to a cooking show. They were in baptismal classes, and 3 of them had already been baptized.
Amen.
That's how it happens. And then they had 225 people at the second time I was there.
Wow.
So you never know how God's going to reach people in your neighborhood by doing this.
That's beautiful.
So,
That's beautiful. Amen.
So what we've got to do is we got to start giving Christ 100% of everything we have instead of 90%. We need to start giving him that commitment like we're supposed to be giving. I mean, would you settle for a spouse that's only going to cheat on you like 20% of the time? Or would you marry a person who's only going to give you a 80% commitment? Of course not. And, you know, and aren't we supposed to be the bride of Christ? Aren't we supposed to be preparing ourselves for him 100%? That's what we need to do. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying, well, God is my co-pilot. I'm telling you, if God is your co-pilot, switch seats.
Start letting him become the pilot. Give him that 100% commitment in everything you do. You know, God is not going to bless your family when you're only committed to your family 50% of the time. God is not going to commit to, he's not going to bless your business when you're not committed to your business. He's not going to bless your faith when you're not committed to your faith. We need to make sure that we are committed to Christ in every way, shape, and form. You know, your children are still your children. It's a bond that you cannot get away from. Even if you adopt them out, they're still your biological children, just like we are God's biological children. He is never, ever going to leave us. Never. We need that commitment to him.